Kings fans, it's time for game night.
And he scores! Wins it in overtime!
With a comprehensive look at the upcoming game, including a look at the Kings and their opponents.
Coming in off the right wing, took it to the net.
Interviews, analysis with notes, news, and scores from around the NHL. And your calls. Let us know what's on your mind. Call us now at 877-KINGS-20. That's 877-KINGS-20. It's game night, and it starts now.
Kings fans, welcome back. I am Jesse Cohen, coming to you live from the Nick Nixon Broadcast Center here in downtown L.A. It's game number 46 for your L.A. Kings, as tonight they take on the New Jersey Devils here at Crypto.com Arena. In the 13 games since December 15th, a 3-2 shootout win on the road against the Boston Bruins, the Kings are 10-2-1. That is an .808 point percentage, which is tied with Boston for first in the NHL during that span. You heard me correctly. First in the NHL during that span. Tonight's opponent, the New Jersey Devils, handled the Anaheim Ducks last night by a score of 6-2 in Anaheim. Jack Hughes and Jesper Bratt both scored twice, with Vitek Vanacek picking up the win. The Devils are 6-3-1 in their last 10 and are in second place in the Metropolitan Division. This is the first of two games against the Devils this season, the only one at Crypto.com Arena. The Kings are 3-0 against the Devils in their last three matchups, and we'll see if the Kings can make it four in a row, not just against the Devils, but also on their current win streak in just over an hour. But for now, we're taking your questions and comments here at LA Kings Game Night, so call in at 877-KINGS-20. That's 877-KINGS-20, and as always, we have tickets to an upcoming Kings game to give away. Let's get into tonight's game. Lineup notes, we have Arthur Kaliev and Trevor Moore still on injured reserve. This morning after morning skate, it was an optional skate, not many players on the ice, but Carl Grundstrom stayed back for extra work. It looks like he will be the healthy scratch tonight. Jordan Spence and Jacob Muvarari both played in San Diego last night for the Ontario Reign and are currently playing for the Ontario Reign against San Diego in Ontario. So for tonight, no extra D. Carl Grundstrom will be, it looks like, the only healthy scratch in tonight's game. In net, it appears that Jonathan Quick will get the start. Jonathan Quick is 8-9-4 this season with a goals against average of 3.40, save percentage of .884. He's 5-5-2 versus New Jersey in the regular season. Obviously, his record in the playoffs a little bit better than that. His last win against the Devils was February 29th, 2020 at Crypto.com Arena. That was the last time that he played them. Vitek Vanacek started for New Jersey last night at Anaheim, so it looks like Mackenzie Blackwood will most likely get the start here tonight. Second-round pick in 2015, taken 42nd overall by the Devils. He is 5-3-1 this year with a goals against average of 3.05 and a save percentage of .888. He is 1-0-2 versus the Kings, and his last game against them was a 3-2 overtime loss November 5th, 2021, also at Crypto.com Arena. Now, I happened to pluck one more little stat about the two goalies in a head-to-head comparison. Nassat is the percentage of shot attempts blocked by teammates, because this is a stat that I stumbled onto quite randomly and I have become obsessed with. Mackenzie Blackwood is fourth in the NHL among goalies that have started or played in at least 11 games. Jonathan Quick, meanwhile, is 19th in the league. Jonathan Quick, 20.96% of shot attempts blocked by teammates. I thought I had written down Mackenzie Blackwood's. Turns out I did not. So I'm going to vamp here while I look that up real quickly. The reason it stood out to me, though, is that Jonathan Quick has played the bulk of the games for the Kings this season, but has, I think one could argue, slipped into a at least temporary backup role behind Phoenix Copley, and Mackenzie Blackwood is the backup goaltender for the New Jersey Devils, and the two of them are wildly separated in the percentage of shot attempts blocked by teammates. As I continue to look for this stat, I apologize one more time. And if you compare Vitek Vanacek and Phoenix Copley to Quick and Blackwood, you'll see what I'm talking about here. Phoenix Copley leads the league in percentage of shot attempts blocked by teammates at 24.95. Mackenzie Blackwood, 23.1. Again, fourth in the league amongst goalies that have played at least 11 games. Aaron Dell and Itu Makaniemi have played two games each and are second and fifth on that list. Meanwhile, as we said, Blackwood fourth in the NHL. Vanacek 21st at 20.82, closer to Jonathan Quick at that 20.96. So Blackwood has been the beneficiary of a number of blocked shots, as has Phoenix Copley, whereas Vanacek and Quick have not. But this commitment to blocking shots, Kings were, they were pretty good at it earlier in the season. We'll get into this later in the second segment. I just wanted to highlight it here because it is likely to be Quick versus Blackwood. No familiar faces in the New Jersey Devils lineup, and by familiar faces, I mean former players that either were drafted by or played for the LA Kings. And likewise, no real news in the Kings land, just the lineup changes we discussed. Around the league tonight, other important games, and there are a few of them. Calgary defeated Dallas earlier today, a very early morning game. Handled them without problem. 6-5 Flames. It was 6-1 at one point when I last checked that score. Vancouver is facing off against Florida. Not terribly worried about the Vancouver Canucks, but just nice to keep an eye on them. Florida Panthers up 4-3 over the Canucks with 4 minutes left in the third. Seattle taking on the Chicago Blackhawks. It is 6-2 Seattle. I believe they scored all six of those goals on the first seven shots of the game. So a tremendous first period for the Kraken. Again, six goals on seven shots. Chicago has scored a second goal. It is now 6-2 Kraken with about 2 minutes left in the second period. And Edmonton will face off against the Vegas Golden Knights at about the top of the hour. So that game, obviously, huge implications for the Kings, as the Oilers are just a few points behind the Kings in the standings with 49. The Kings have 56, and Seattle 2 points behind them with 54. Meanwhile, Vegas 2 points ahead of the Kings with 58. So opportunity for the standings to shift and change once again here tonight. As the season goes on, we'll be spending more and more time and paying more and more attention on those out-of-town scoreboards. But lots of important games. Meanwhile, that is not the only game that matters to Kings fans. There is a game in the AHL, as I said earlier, the Ontario Reign taking on the San Diego Gulls in Ontario tonight. The lineup for that game features not just Jordan Spence and Jacob Mouvrari, as we said, but also Tobias Bjornfoot, Toby Paquette-Bisson, Frederick Allard, Cameron Gaunce, Leish Anderson, TJ Tynan, Tyler Madden, Alan Quine, Samuel Fogamo, Aiden Dudas, Nikita Pavlichev, Martin Kromiak, who's gotten off to a hot little streak here, Tyler Goldborn, who has just joined the Reign, Samuel Hellenius, Austin Wagner, with Cal Peterson starting in net. The Reign are up 2-0 over the San Diego Gulls with goals from Nikita Pavlichev and Leish Anderson. Leish Anderson's 12th of the season, Nikita Pavlichev's first. Pavlichev assisted by Jordan Spence, his 21st of the season, and Martin Kromiak, his 5th. Meanwhile, Leish Anderson assisted by Austin Wagner and Toby Paquette-Bisson. So far, Cal Peterson stopping every shot against him in that game. It's only 6 so far. It's early yet in that game. Still 2 minutes left in the first period. That is going to bring us to our quotes from Todd McLellan and the rest of the players that we had a chance to talk to. In the last game, I had a chance to talk to a number of the players in the locker room about shot blocking, big hits, defensive plays, as Todd McLellan put it, the things that players don't want to do. And the question was, if those are the things you have to do to win, and it sounds like you do, then is there a point where the team wants to do those things? And the scene the thing that made me think of it that way is there's a movie called The Breakup with Jennifer Aniston and Vince Vaughn. And they're having a fight about doing the dishes. And Vince Vaughn says, "You want me to do the dishes? I'll do the dishes." Jennifer Aniston says, "No, I don't want you to do the dishes. I want you to want to do the dishes." It's a subtle little difference, but it's kind of what made me think about this. It's not that you want your players blocking shots, making defensive plays, playing to win, not to score, as Todd McLellan said. you do want them doing that, but you want them doing it because they want to do it, not because you're telling them to do it, if that makes any sense. A question that I like to ask defensemen when they join the team and we get a chance to talk to them on All the Kings Men, the official podcast of the LA Kings, is would you rather score a goal or block a shot in the dying minutes of regulation to preserve a one-goal lead? Usually defensemen say they'd rather block the shot. I had a chance to talk to Phil Deneau about it. I asked Phil Deneau if at this point in the season, with the team on the run it's in, if blocking a shot had the same excitement as scoring a goal.
Pretty much, actually, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's not everyone that gets to score goals, you know, or I get the opportunity to be on par play and stuff like that. So for a penalty killer or a D-man, when you block a shot, I think it's like scoring a goal, yeah. I mean, it can prevent a goal to be in your net. So, I mean, it's really awesome, and it's a great leadership. You need some balls to do that. Sorry. You know the other words.
Phil Deneau's there saying you need balls to block a shot, apologizing he didn't know a better word to use. Nice little chuckle from the media talking to Phil Deneau the other day after practice. I asked Phil Deneau the same question I asked all the players in the last game, which is when you're on the bench and you see a teammate blocking a shot, making a hit to keep a play going, does it get competitive? Do you see that and then want to go out there on the ice yourself and make a play like that yourself?
Oh yeah, for sure, and especially against Division team too. Like it was a big game for us, and you know, all the guys step up, and it just showed that we got each other's back, and that's what the best thing about this team is. You get to rank, you know what to expect from the teammates, and you know they got to go to war as much as you will. So there's no price for that.
Phil Deneau is a big guy, known for his two-way play, known for his defensive prowess. Victor Arvidsson, who generally skates on his right wing. A little bit slighter, a little bit smaller, known more for offense, but I asked him the same question. What does it mean to the team on the bench when they see a teammate sacrificing the body on the ice?
It means we have each other's back, and we can trust each other, and we're committed to play for each other, and that's a huge thing to have. And I've been on teams that had that before, and it's a privilege.
A privilege, Victor Arvidsson says it is to play for a team where the players are willing to sacrifice for one another on the ice and off the ice, I imagine. Also talked to Matt Roy. Now, Matt Roy, tremendous shot blocker, tremendous defensive defenseman. No surprise, I'm sure, that he was one of the guys who said he would rather block a shot than score a goal. Asked him about the team wanting to do the things that players don't want to do.
I think when we've done it, we've had success, and we've recognized that. To start the year, we weren't really doing it, or we were doing it inconsistently. So now I think everyone's bought into it, and we're doing it on a more consistent basis, and it's proving itself.
It is indeed proving itself. We mentioned the Kings' record since that game against Boston. In Boston, tied for first in the league in points percentage. Continued to talk to Matt Roy, asked him the same question I asked the rest. When you're on the bench, you see a teammate making a play like that. Does it fire you up and make you want to go out and make a play to match it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a bit contagious. You see them lift up the team and you want to do it yourself, and you want to contribute just as much as the next guy. So it just kind of raises the bar and sets new expectations for the team.
That was Matt Roy, again, confirming what the rest of the team said, which is when you see a teammate make a play like that, it does fire you up. It does inspire you to go on. And he used that word contagious. We've heard Todd McClellan use it. We've heard players use it. I've loved to use it both here on LA Kings Game Night and All the Kings Men. We are certainly not alone in the use of that word. You can hear it in any sport, in any setting. When teams play to win, not to score, as Todd McClellan says, that is the sign of a team that influences one another, and everybody's pulling in the same direction. I've said time and time again, effort is fine, skill is fine, but you need players with skill and determination giving effort in the same direction. It's not enough for everybody to be trying their hardest. You need to be trying hardest to do the same thing at the same time. So it looks honestly very much to me, not just in the games, but also at practice, like the Kings are getting to that point. The number of times I've seen over the last week, whether it's morning skate or practices when they're doing the drills out there, you'll hear a chant or a cheer, and you'll look down and you'll see four or five guys you know, high-fiving or hugging or doing a sort of, you know, goofy little celebration on the ice when one team has defeated the other in a drill. They seem to be having fun, and we heard from Drew Doughty and other players that obviously winning is fun. But, yeah, I am a convert. I believe all of it. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we'll have more clips from Todd McClellan. We'll have a few more stats. This is LA Kings Game Night. I'm Jesse Cohen. Stick around, Kings fans. We'll be right back.
Crypto.com is the official crypto platform partner of the LA Kings and the world's fastest growing crypto app. In the app, you can easily buy and sell cryptocurrencies and different coins, collect the world's top NFTs, and get discounts when you pay with crypto. Download the Crypto.com app now on the App Store or Google Play. All information is provided for informational purposes only, and this message is not intended as a recommendation of financial or investment advice. Cryptocurrencies are highly volatile and subject to significant risks and may not be suitable for you. Not available in all jurisdictions. Score a goal and join the team that is building a stronger LA. Join the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power. LADWP is an excellent place to work with competitive pay, excellent benefits, and many opportunities for professional and personal growth. If you're ready for a change, this is your chance. A job for you is ready and waiting. There are over 150 different types of jobs open to anyone that meets the minimum qualifications. Visit joinladwp.com for more information. That's joinladwp.com.
Experience the future of connectivity with Spectrum One. You get Spectrum Internet delivering the fastest speeds in the nation for $49.99 a month. Advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced privacy and security, free for 12 months. And a Spectrum Mobile line with unlimited talk, text, and data, plus nationwide 5G, free for 12 months. That's Spectrum One. Visit Spectrum.com or your local Spectrum store today. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Energy is building at Crypto.com Arena. Be a part of the best entertainment experience in Los Angeles. Join the Kings family today and choose the ticket plan that works for you. Lock in your seats by visiting lakings.com/memberships today. And go Kings!
Score! Adrian Kempe!
Kings fans, you score with your own ticket schedule. With LA Kings Flex Vouchers, you get the ultimate flexibility to choose the games you want to see. Use your tickets any way you'd like across 41 games. Two for one game, four for another. The choice is yours. Pick your tickets and enjoy exclusive benefits like playoff priority presale access and ticket savings. Visit lakings.com/flex for more information.
This is LA Kings Game Night. Make your voice heard. Call 877-KINGS-20. Back to the action on the LA Kings iHeart Audio Network.
Welcome back, Kings fans. Jesse Cohen here again inside the Nick Nixon Broadcast Center in downtown LA, where the New Jersey Devils are in town to take on your LA Kings here at Crypto.com Arena, their only visit to Crypto.com Arena of the season. One more game against the Devils on the schedule, but that one will be in New Jersey. Get your questions and comments on the air, 877-KINGS-20, 877-KINGS-20. If you get a chance to talk to me, you get a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Kings game. Again, that is 877-KINGS-20. 877-KINGS-20. In the opening segment, we talked about tonight's matchup between Jonathan Quick and Mackenzie Blackwood. That is the presumed matchup, I should say. Obviously, that could change. We'll wait till after warm-ups to confirm that. But it's believed that those are the starters for tonight. And I ran over the percentage of shot attempts blocked by teammates for those two goalies. And I've become real focused on blocked shots. I don't believe that blocked shots is the be-all and end-all of statistics for a team, but we also mentioned that since December 15th, the Kings are tied for first in the NHL in points percentage, and I don't think it's a coincidence that before December 15th, the Kings were tied for seventh in the league in blocked shots per 60, and since then, they are first overall in the league in block shots per 60 at 17.85, and the last handful of games they've had more than 20 per game. The reason I'm pointing it out is because Phoenix Copley has started the bulk of those games, and Jonathan Quick has only played two games since then. And in those games, the Kings blocked 20 shots versus the Arizona Coyotes, which was a 2-1 shootout loss. I think you can see the correlation there. High blocked shots, low goals against. Meanwhile, against the Philadelphia Flyers, Kings only blocked 11 shots, which was a 4-2 loss to the Philadelphia Flyers. Now, I'm not trying to remove any of the blame for the Kings' goaltending or take away any of the credit for the Kings' goaltending during those two different eras of this season, but it just makes your goaltender's life a whole lot easier if you're blocking shots. Blocking shots is not the only way to play defense, and Jackie Redmond has about a 3.5-minute video on Twitter. You can go check it out. It's Jackie Redmond, but she sings the praises of the Kings' recent play, and she mentions shot blocking, but also some other elements of defense that the Kings have been excelling at lately.
Since this stretch started on December 15th, their defense has been A1. Shots against from the sweet spot, the slot, have come at an absolute premium. Defending the inner slot, no team has been better than the Kings. They allow the fewest. They are numero uno. And when the puck does get through and there happens to be a rebound, the Kings are doing a pretty nice job of getting the puck out of harm's way. They are third in rebound chances allowed over that span. And no, I'm not done throwing numbers at you just yet. They're scoring first, they're winning faceoffs, and they're blocking a ton of shots.
Jackie goes on to talk about all the other things the Kings are doing and the fact that they're not getting enough publicity from the hockey world. No surprise to those of us out here in L.A. who are used to being ignored by the hockey media on the East Coast. We all know how that goes. But nice to get a little bit of shine for the Kings' strong play of late. And, again, you can find that video on Twitter. I retweeted it, so if you follow me or if you follow the Kings, I think the Kings mentioned it. But Jackie Redmond from the NHL Network was a great little video talking about all the things the Kings do well. Back to those blocked shots real quick. Again, real curious to see tonight if the Kings will continue that play, preventing those passes to the slot, as Jackie said, clearing those rebounds and blocking those shots for Jonathan Quick. Because while Jonathan Quick, on the percentage of shot attempts blocked by teammates, is not, you know, at the bottom of the list, he is 28th. Out of, well, it's 83. So, I mean, he's in the top portion of the list, but 28th, whereas Copley is first. Copley getting almost 25% a night. Jonathan Quick just 20%, 20.96. Be very curious to see if Jonathan Quick's results are improved by the commitment to defense that the team has displayed in the last few months. Jonathan Quick, unfortunately, getting the start in two games where the coaching staff and the players both conceded they didn't have their best games against Arizona and that New Year's Eve day game against the Philadelphia Flyers. But block shots and defense are not the only topic of conversation around the LA Kings. Todd McLellan was asked about the play of number 55, Quentin Byfield, and he had praise for the young star.
It was good to see him get rewarded around the net. Maybe that'll give him some offensive confidence. He's had some looks, likely since going up on the wing, and it hasn't gone in for him. And you could sense a bit of frustration for him. So as a young player, having that relief come, maybe we'll see more of that. And he made a nice play on the goal. So it was a good night offensively for him.
Now, I have spoken to a number of people who covered Quentin Byfield in the OHL. Obviously had a chance to watch him in the AHL. We've talked to people who have covered him in the AHL. Now we've had a chance to see him, in the NHL. And despite the pressure and the expectations on Quentin Byfield's shoulders, he strikes me as the kind of player who has a interesting learning curve. It starts out low to the bottom of the graph, and then it, I believe, personally, it spiked. So I went back, looked at his numbers to find out if I was imagining that in my memory or if it was true. His first season in Sudbury, that's OHL, his OHL team, his junior team, 2018-2019 season for the Sudbury Wolves, 64 games played, 29 goals, and 61 points. That second season, after he had one pass through the OHL. In just 45 games, 32 goals and 82 points. So a huge leap forward. Obviously, that is what made him the second overall pick in the 2020 NHL entry draft. Then that first year in Ontario, the 2020-2021 season, scored 20 points in 32 games, had just 6 points in his first nine games, then went scoreless in four games, 1 point in the next five games, but the last 12 games, or excuse me, the next 12 games in that season, he had 12 points in those 12 games. You could see the learning curve take place during that season. It was a slow start. People understood it was the COVID season. There were, you know, he was not meant to play in the AHL that year. It would have been NHL or OHL, but because of COVID, he was allowed to go play in the AHL. And I don't remember the stat off the top of my head, but I believe he was very close to setting the record for most points in a season by an 18-year-old in the AHL. Obviously a rare thing. The following year, 2021 and 22, he split time between the Kings and the Reign because that is the season that he broke his ankle coming out of training camp. But in the AHL, 11 games in the AHL coming back from that injury. No points in the first five games, 6 points in the next five games. There's that learning curve again. Came in, was sent down, took a while to readapt, to re-sort out where he was in that league, then took off. Then this season, 2022-2023, 16 games, 15 points. Now, he got off to a bit of a hot start. Then he had the illness, then the conditioning assignment down to Ontario. 1 point in his first four, and then 14 points in his last 12. And again, there's that learning curve. And then in 2020-2021 for the LA Kings, six games, just 1 point, but you could see him get better. You heard all the praise from Todd McLellan at the time. Last year was an odd year for him, 40 games, just 10 points. But this year, already 6 points in 16 games. And we compared the AHL numbers. So I am continuing to believe that Quentin Byfield is a player who, once he learns his environment, once he gets a sort on his settings, will begin to apply those lessons and will begin to flourish once he's had an opportunity, which he is certainly getting on that top line now with Anze Kopitar and Adrian Kempe. I asked Todd McLellan, because I was looking into all of those numbers, the blocked shots, the hits, the defensive numbers, all of that. The question I was wondering was, is it important to chase stats in the hopes that if you get all of the stats on the right side of the column, you will pick up a win? Or is it important to chase a style of play and trust that if you're playing the right way, the stats will come and that is what will help you win?
When we start, we don't start with statistics. We look at the game and what's expected of the five players on the ice as far as responsibilities, execution, structure, and that type of stuff. And look at it repetitively. So we may pick forecheck. Instead of watching the game for 60 minutes straight, rewatching it, we may just put all the forechecks together, one after another. And there becomes distinct patterns to what's going right or what's going wrong. And sometimes it's an individual, sometimes it's a group of players, or sometimes it's the full team. And that allows us to then address it and try and fix it. For us, the statistical part of it, maybe analytic part, will support it or not support it. We'll go back and look at the numbers, but it's way more about what we see and feel than read, I guess, or analyze.
That was Todd McLellan. I'm sure you can hear in the background Trevor Raybone calling out the start of warm-ups between the LA Kings and the New Jersey Devils. That means we're going to take a break. When we come back, it'll be time for Duly Noted. This is LA Kings Game Night. I'm Jesse Cohen. Stick around. Kings fans will be right back.
And we're back with breaking news. Coke Zero Sugar might be the best Coke ever.
That's right, Jim. Coke Zero Sugar is a must-try for any Coke fan, so make sure you... Jim. Jim.
we're on the air.
Ooh, yes, this tastes like the best Coke ever to me. Your thoughts, Jen?
Well, can I have a sip?
Jen, we're in the middle of reporting the news.
I need to try it first.
New vehicles are arriving daily at your Toyota dealer. Powerful new Camrys, adventurous new RAV4s, rugged new Tacomas, even stylish new Corollas. And with great end-of-summer savings, there are incredible deals on many of Toyota's most popular models. So get a special lease or low APR on the Toyota you've always wanted. See your Toyota dealer today or visit Toyota.com. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel has another reason for you to come in today. For a limited time only, Yamava is giving all new and inactive members a buy one, get one free buffet. Plus, new members can win up to $1,000 in free play for signing up a Club Serrano membership. You'll earn rewards from playing any of the 6,800 slots or table games. Experience SoCal's best buffet and resort. Yamava is your home to big wins and even bigger prizes. Go for a BOGO today. Details at yamava.com/new member. Must be 21. Please gamble responsibly.
Traveling to LA for a Kings game? Travel packages available for select home games. Bundle your hotel and tickets with friends and save up to $400. Game opponents include Sharks, Flyers, Bruins, Devils, Sabres, and more. These discounted hotel rates will only last a short time, so lock in your hotel and tickets now. Enjoy the game and save some cash, and bundle your hotel and tickets while you still can. Bundle pricing based on a group of four. Book now at lakings.com/travel. That's lakings.com/travel.
Back to more of LA Kings game night. Call 877-KINGS-20. Back to the action on the LA Kings iHeart Audio Network.
Welcome back, Kings fans. Jesse Cohen here once again inside the Nick Nixon Broadcast Center in downtown LA, where the New Jersey Devils and LA Kings have taken the ice for warm-ups here at Crypto.com Arena. That means it's time for Duly Noted.
Call Dooley.
Dooley.
Let's call Dooley.
Dooley loves a good party.
Dooley. Dooley in the house.
Right?
Dooley's in the house.
Yeah, Dooley noted.
It's time for warm-ups. That means it's time for Dooley Noted. Joining me now is Zach Dooley. How are you doing today, Zach?
Longest pause of the year.
I just wanted
by
to
by you right there. I didn't know what to do. I was caught off guard.
It is a rainy Saturday. Of a long weekend.
Not just because Ontario's planning it.
That's either. Right. Rain outside, rain inside. This is the end of what did Todd call it, a segment?
I think this is the start of a segment.
Oh, this was the start?
I'm not sure, actually. San Jose was for sure the end of a segment, mm-hmm. is kind of what he said, but I could see how tonight would also be the end of a segment because of this four-day break coming up. And
yeah, if you're listening to this and you have no idea what we're talking about, Todd was talking about the schedule.
Work some audio into the pregame.
Please. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Todd was talking about the schedule recently because they've had such a compacted schedule to start the season. Everybody in the division is still behind us in games played.
I think every team in the league is
still yeah, there you go.
So segments, the concept of it is, you know, it's something that every team does, every coaching staff does, is they'll break their season down into defined segments. When I worked with the Ontario Reign, it was always 8-game segments, which in the AHL was essentially you had eight-game segments to get through your season. And they would look at trends and stretches over those 8 games. Because if you look at full season totals in January, is how your team was in October or November really indicative of where you're at now? It's probably not overall, right? The penalty kill has been much better as of late. Power play numbers are very good as of late. So if you look at those over a shorter segment, each team, each coach probably chooses different numbers. You can maybe get a more accurate representation of like where your team's at right now. And I think that's kind of what he was talking about, is a segment is like a block of games. It's like we look at our team in this block of games, then we move on to the next block of games, and away you go.
And the reason we're discussing it now is 4 days off before the next game, which is Dallas on Thursday, then a road trip, and then the All-Star break and a bye week, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, it could make sense either way, because you got basically a 7-game trip coming up. The first stop just happens to be Los Angeles. So that's going to be a taxing one going into the break. But they do have these 4 days, which I think yesterday players and coaches alike talked about how important those 4 days are and how meaningful they are. Because the Kings have had to choose basically all year between a rest day or a practice day. For the first time, really, over this 10-day stretch, two separate times, they can have both. Like, they can have their cake and eat it because they've had a rest day and a practice day before this game. Then they'll have 2-2 before the Dallas game. So really, for the first time, the Kings kind of get that reprieve where they can have a couple of maybe higher intensity practices, but they don't have to sacrifice rest and time off in order to do it. So that's actually, I think, a really welcomed and something that the team is really looking forward to.
So, of course, they get one of the hottest teams in the National Hockey League to either end the previous segment or begin the new one.
Because it's the Devils, right? That's why they're hot?
That. We talked, you know, a week ago about Dallas, Boston, Vegas, and Edmonton four games in a row against three division leaders in last year's playoff opponent. Then again, no disrespect to the San Jose Sharks. Correction, tons of disrespect to the San Jose Sharks. Right,
on this podcast.
Yeah, yeah. But broken up by the San Jose Sharks, then 2 days off, now New Jersey Devils, who, as Jim Fox pointed out in the morning availability with Todd McClellan, just looking at, you know, the printout that the stat reports feed you, the New Jersey Devils might be the toughest of the opponents in the month of January so far.
You never know, right? And yeah. I thought a point that you brought up was interesting, something I didn't really think of is, you know, they're powered by those younger players, and you don't necessarily have the book on Jack Hughes or Nico Hischier or Jesper Bratt that you might on some players who are at that production level around the league but are maybe 28, 29 years old. These guys are a young core. They're a good example of, you know, getting the high draft picks that you need but also seeing those players become your core. New Jersey was kind of a full-on teardown, and then they had these guys slotted to rise, and they have finally started to do that. I think I read a stat, Jack Hughes, one of five guys in franchise history with 250 or more point years before the age of 21. So he's growing and developing at a great rate, and Hischier and Bratt are kind of the same. Kings fans should know Bratt because he has four goals from six games against them, was very potent against the Kings last year. And they're a tough team, and I actually thought his answer, or Todd's answer to your question, was pretty interesting because he's kind of like, yeah, like it could be a little bit tougher because you don't maybe necessarily have the level of scouting on those players that you might on, say, a divisional opponent who you face four times a year and guys who you've seen for a few more years.
It was fascinating to me because the angle I was actually thinking of in my head when I asked the question was, when you have those guys who I think they're 21, 23, and 24, you know, 24 is like not old, even though there's a couple guys on this team that are not yet 24 that
feel old.
Yeah. but what I was thinking was, late in a game or maybe even halfway through the game when older legs are getting tired or older bodies are not interested in being hit anymore. You know, that quote we heard from him a few days ago about making your opponent quit doing the things you don't want to do. Jack Hughes, I doubt very much, is at a stage in his career where it's easy to make him quit.
Well, I don't think Andre Kopitar is either.
No, but, you know, young, I was just thinking, like, if you have, I wasn't thinking about the Kings so much as other opponents. You know, a team like Boston, for example, which also has good young players, but not like New Jersey, right? They have established older veterans who might be more prone, in my mind, to on a road trip in a game that got out of their hands. Maybe they're not interested in taking that extra hit to pick up 2 points against an opposite conference opponent, whereas the Devils, I don't know. Just a thought, but as Todd pointed out, there's more than three guys on a team, and the Devils are in the spot they're in for a reason, and it's not just because Jack Hughes is awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Phoenix Copley not getting the start in net tonight. What are you going to look for out of Jonathan Quick tonight?
I'm not a goalie technician, so I would say stop the puck, right?
Sure.
Like you know, Phoenix, if you look at his numbers, he's come in and he's been exactly what the Kings have needed because he's been solid. He hasn't been the guy stealing games every night, but he isn't allowing a ton of soft goals either. It's kind of what you see is what you get. He's given the team a chance to win in each of his starts, even on the nights when the Kings have lost. And I think that's really all you can look for from Jonathan Quick. And even though he's gotten some flack as of late, he hasn't had a start in a while where he hasn't at least put the team in a chance to win. The Philly game, the Arizona game, the Columbus game, his last three, as you brought up, his last three starts, the Kings have been in the game in the third period. So you want to see him come in and deliver the type of game that, you know, we all believe he still has in him. If he can be that solid presence in net, He's always very good at getting timely whistles. If he can just be that solid guy, I think the Kings will be just fine.
3 games ago, Kevin Fiala scores a hat trick. The following game, 4 points. The following game, Quentin Byfield shows up with an incredibly strong game. My eyes tonight are going to be on 55, because I have said this previously, and I believe it, although I haven't gone back and done any sort of definitive research mm-hmm. to prove it. But my belief about Quentin Byfield is that he has a learning curve that starts out slow. And I understand why that can be frustrating to some people, whether it's at the AHL level or the NHL level or even at the OHL level. But he, to me, strikes me as a player who takes his time to learn the environment before applying some of the lessons that he learns. And I could understand how that might, like I said, might be frustrating, but I would like very much to see a continuation of the production we saw against the Sharks, not just the strong play that we've seen for a few weeks now.
To be honest, I think I'm the other way. I want to see the strong play continue mm-hmm. because if you looked at last year's Quentin Byfield...
I'd prefer both.
ideally, yeah. right? Yeah, and I'd prefer both. Yeah. But if you looked at last year's Quentin Byfield, you saw that level of game, but you saw it like 1 out of 10 or mm-hmm. 2 out of 10. This stretch he's on, I feel like you're seeing it maybe 3 or 4 out of 5. We haven't seen him play 10 games yet on this second stretch. So we're seeing the level of play be more consistent. His chances are up. His chances on ice are up, meaning when he chances from he and his line mates up. Since he's come back up, he's in the top 3 on the team in both individual and on ice high danger chances per 60 minutes. So he's in and around and getting those good looks himself. Last game, the chances turned into production, a goal and an assist. So he had 2 points, which was great. You definitely want to see the production continue. And that would be said for any player who's giving minutes on the first line, right? That line has to produce offensively. But I think if he can continue to play that style of game consistently, and we're not talking about it 1 out of 10. Now we're talking about it 1 out of 10 that it's not there. It's 8 or 9 out of 10 that it is. That's the kind of player that I think I want to see. And I think that if you see that, it would kind of jive with what you're saying. Like maybe it wasn't there for a while, but maybe when he figures it out, he's going to bring that type of game every night. And I think that's a really, really good thing for the Kings.
When two powerful opponents face off in a playoff series, best of 7, the phrase that gets tossed out a lot in games 1 and 2 is like, these are feeling out games. Mm-hmm. You know, the teams are feeling each other out. It doesn't really matter who wins game 1 because they're just feeling each other out and they want to see what the other one has. And then, you know, the series starts, blah, blah, blah. I am of the opinion that that's how Byfield's career goes, right? There is no opponent. The opponent is the league that he's playing in, and that's, you have to go through that feeling out process. I hope I'm right, obviously. So yeah, that is what I'm looking for, to see if we are moving out of the feeling out process and into the what can I do process. Whereas a player like Brandt Clark, there is no feeling out. You know, we talked to Cameron Gaunce about Clark's performance at the World Juniors, and he said, you know, from his perspective, a player like Brandt Clark is easier to play with because he comes in knowing who he is, how he plays, what he wants to do. Doesn't matter the team, the league, the locker room. And so it's easy to adapt to that because known quantity from, you know, the third step through the threshold. Like, oh, that's who that guy is.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably a challenge with a lot of young players. We've heard about it over the seasons now with Todd McClellan. Some of the younger players, they have to learn not to defer to older, more established teammates.
And you just get more comfortable, right? You mm-hmm. learn the level of pace. You see it a lot of times. My experience is more in the AHL, where a guy's first year in the AHL, you see this high offensive prospect who comes in and his numbers are substandard. But then the next year he comes in and his totals are like, oh, this guy's got 50, 60 points in the AHL because he figured out, he adjusted to the level of play. And that probably goes double for the NHL because it's that much better of a league. It's good for Quinton because he's never really had the opportunity to play in the top 6 before. At best, he was the 3C. He's never played on the wing with the Kings. And when you have Kopitar and Deneau, who have been there for basically his entire time here, there is no opportunity to play higher, right? That's your 1C and your 2C. So 3C is the only option. Now he's getting a look on the wing, really noticing his play along the wall, really noticing his play on the forecheck. So those things were there even before the points. And if the points can continue and, you know, two goals directly as a result of his play, I mean, maybe that's the fit for him right now, and we'll see where it goes. But it's only a good thing if he keeps playing like that.
Yeah, and to sort of highlight your point, and obviously rosters change, teams change, environments change, but Jack Hughes for the New Jersey Devils, 21 points.
We just talked about him, right? Yeah.
21 points in his first season, yep. 61 games, 31 points in 56, the second one, 56 and 49 last year, yep. 52 and 42. And
mm-hmm. I was actually thinking of him when I said that, which is funny because it takes some time. Like mm-hmm. Tyler Seguin, right? That first year, he was a healthy scratch a lot on that Bruins team. I think he had like 30 points, played most of the year in the NHL, and then he figured it out. Then he went to Dallas, and he broke out, and he had like a lot of those players. McClellan always references Matthews, McDavid, Eichel, mm-hmm. guys who came in right away. But it isn't like that, even for Draisaitl. I mean, he got sent to the AHL in his first year. So it does take different times for different players, but you're starting to see kind of that package for Quinton Byfield, all the tools that he has. And the only way to tell if he can put it together is to see it over the full year. And hopefully he's got a full half of a year to see what he has this year and carry that forward.
Now, I confess, I have not yet done my New Jersey Devils research as of the time of this recording. So I'll just ask you, what do their special teams look like, and hope that you know the answer.
I could lie and say that I know.
Okay. All right.
I know that they're a top 10 penalty killing unit.
Right.
Because I know that after the Kings scored 4 power play goals against the Oilers, I did look up the special teams and saw that the Kings would face 3 top 10 penalty killing units on the rest of their homestand. San Jose, I believe, was second in the league. New Jersey and Dallas are both in the top 10. So it'll be a test there for a power play unit that's been a lot better. I admit I do not know what their power play looks like, but I'm hoping you just looked it up on your phone while I was giving you the time to do that by extending the answer that I was giving.
I should have, but then I got a text saying that tickets I gave away to the game tonight are not going to be able to be used.
And hate to see it.
Instantly went into, oh no, how am I going to get rid of these tickets mode? So if you're listening to this,
at this point, I think it's
sorry you didn't get those tickets.
Yeah, I think at this point it's overdue, right? But you know, the Devils are 20.5% on the power play this year, which places them middle to bottom mm-hmm. of the league. But as we mentioned, their penalty kill is quite good. They're in the top 10.
Well, hopefully the Kings will pick up 2 points.
Hopefully the Kings have done more research on the Devils special exactly. teams.
I mean, Todd said they had.
Yes.
So, all right, Zach, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Talk to you soon.
That was duly noted. This is LA Kings Game Night. I'm Jesse Cohen. Stick around, Kings fans. We'll be right back.
The LA Kings play here. Bally Sports West.
Patrick Gold!
And now, you have more wings to watch than ever. With your service provider.
To win it! Yes!
Or with the all-new Bally Sports Plus, available on the Bally Sports app.
Oh, what a setup!
Bally Sports West. Your home for LA Kings hockey.
If you want the best care for kids in California, come to Children's Hospital Los Angeles. CHLA is the highest-ranked children's hospital in California and a top hospital in the nation on the prestigious U.S. News & World Report Honor Roll of the Best Children's Hospitals. CHLA provides outstanding patient-centered care, trains the physicians, nurses, and caregivers of tomorrow, and conducts life-saving research to help bring more cures to more kids. For the best care for kids in California, visit chla.org.
Crypto.com is the official crypto platform partner of the LA Kings and the world's fastest growing crypto app. In the app, you can easily buy and sell cryptocurrencies and different coins, collect the world's top NFTs, and get discounts when you pay with crypto. Download the Crypto.com app now on the App Store or Google Play. All information is provided for informational purposes only, and this message is not intended as a recommendation of financial or investment advice. Cryptocurrencies are highly volatile and subject to significant risks and may not be suitable for you. Not available in all jurisdictions.
Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel has another reason for you to come in today. For a limited time only, Yamava is giving all new and inactive members a buy one, get one free buffet. Plus, new members can win up to $1,000 in free play for signing up a Club Serrano membership. You'll earn rewards from playing any of the 6,800 slots or table games. Experience SoCal's best buffet and resort. Yamava is your home to big wins and even bigger prizes. Go for a BOGO today. Details at yamava.com/new member. Must be 21. Please gamble responsibly.
From Star Wars to Kids Day to LA Dodgers Night, the 22-23 season theme night and promotion schedule has something for everyone. Visit lakings.com/promotions to see all the fun the Kings have in store this season. That's lakings.com/promotions, and go Kings!
We return to LA Kings Game Night, a pregame look at the Kings on your LA Kings iHeart Audio Network.
Welcome back, Kings fans. Jesse Cohen here once again inside the Nick Nixon Broadcast Center in downtown LA, where the New Jersey Devils are in town to take on your LA Kings here at Crypto.com Arena. Warm-ups are completed. It looks like no changes to the lineups. Byfield, Kopitar, and Kempe. I have followed Deneau and Arvidsson. Fiala, Lizotte, and Velarde. Lemieux, Kupari, and Anderson Dolan will all skate together as forward lines. Meanwhile, on defense, Anderson and Doughty, Durzi and Roy, Edler and Walker, with Jonathan Quick expected to get the start here tonight. Looking around the NHL, a number of games have been completed so far. The Avalanche 7-0 over the Senators. The Blue Jackets 4-3 over the Red Wings. The New York Islanders 2-1 over the Montreal Canadiens. The Flyers 3-1 over the Capitals. The Hurricanes 2-1 over the Penguins. The Bruins defeat the Maple Leafs, much to the chagrin of Toronto fans. The Panthers defeat the Vancouver Canucks. We like that. Meanwhile, active games going on. The Minnesota Wild up 2-1 over the Coyotes with 7 minutes left in the third. The Sabres up 4-3 with 10 minutes left in the third. Seattle Kraken 8-3 over the Chicago Blackhawks with just over 8 minutes left in the third. With a win there, if I'm not mistaken, the Seattle Kraken will move into a tie with the LA Kings. Of course, the Kings have an opportunity here tonight to pick up 2 points, move out of that tie with the Seattle Kraken. The Lightning over the Blues 4-2 with 11 minutes left in the third. And the Oilers taking on the Golden Knights. It's early in the first, 13 minutes left in the first period, 13 minutes 52 seconds left in the first, but the Oilers already have a 2-goal lead over the Vegas Golden Knights. And there is a bit of a bunch up at the top of the Pacific Division between the Knights, the Kings, and the Kraken. The Golden Knights 2 points ahead of the Kings. And if I'm not mistaken, the Kings 2 points ahead of the Kraken. But again, we mentioned that Kraken score 8-3 over Chicago with 8 minutes left in the third. And the Oilers defeating, well, not defeating, but ahead of the Golden Knights already 2-0 in that game. We talked to Todd McLellan this morning about how much prep was needed for the New Jersey Devils.
They play a game that's effective for them. And if you're not ready for it, it can bite you. And if you're ready for it, it can still bite you because they're that good right now. But as far as sharing numbers, you know, entry numbers mm-hmm. and track numbers and block, like, you can overcook it. We'll pick something, one or two areas of the game that we think we really have to focus on, and we'll share that with
them. Tom McLellan was also asked if the team feels different this month with the stretch of strong play.
You're allowed to feel good about your game when you're playing well, as long as you keep it up. If confidence turns into arrogance, you'll be taught a lesson really quick, and we want to avoid that. But the evolution of our team now is significantly different than it was during the COVID year when we're playing 56 games with different types of players and lineup. And so it does feel different, but it should feel different.
That is going to do it for us here at LA Kings Game Night. Huge thanks to our in-arena producer, Jake Warner, and Jeff Cabot at the iHeart Studio in Burbank. LA Kings Game Night will return on Thursday night when the Dallas Stars return to Crypto.com Arena. But for now, we'll take one final break. When we return, Hall of Famer Nick Nixon and Darrell Evans have the call as your LA Kings face off against the New Jersey Devils. This has been LA Kings Game Night. I've been Jesse Cohen. Thanks for listening, Kings fans.
Off the draw, shot, score!
You've been listening to Kings Game Night with a complete look at the Kings' upcoming game. Be sure to join us immediately after the game for Kings Talk. Call in again with your questions and comments at 877-KINGS-20. And now, stay tuned for LA Kings Hockey, coming up right here on the LA Kings iHeart Audio Network.